Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is Colin Pollock from Orange County, California. And Colin and I have been friends through here SMA conferences for the past few years. He's a longtime member of the SMA community, and he's here to talk about both his business, his family life, and just his story with SMA. So, Colin, great to have you today.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure. This will be a really good one. So, Colin, to start off, can you just talk a little bit about your backstory and then, you know, when you were diagnosed with SMA? I know yours was a little bit later, but anything you want to share about just your growing up and your background?
Yeah, for sure. So I didn't get diagnosed with SMA till I was 13. So leading up to that, I kind of had trouble running, you know, keeping up with everybody. And back then in the, you know, 70s or whatever, people didn't really know what was going on. So they thought it was my hips or my back or whatever. So I went to tons of doctors, and finally through a muscle biopsy, I got diagnosed with SMA type 3. And so that was like 1985, I think. So, so starting from there, I mean, I just really, you know, kind of had a normal childhood and through high school and all that. I mean, I wasn't into sports. I played in the band and stuff that I could do, you know, that didn't take a lot of physical activity, because once I got into high school, like climbing stairs was hard and I couldn't run and different things like that. So it made it kind of difficult, but I did, you know, find things I could do through like music and art and stuff like that. So.
And do you remember, I'm just thinking of like specifically that time period of being a teenager and you're already going through a lot. Like, what did the diagnosis fully register with you at that point? Or was it, what was it like for you to process emotionally and mentally?
You know, it was, thinking back, it was just kind of a blur, but you know, I think back, like I took it in stride. I think it didn't really like affect me horribly, just because I knew something was wrong, you know, my whole life of knowing what was going on. And so I think I took it in stride, knowing, you know, finally I have like a diagnosis. And you know, at that point they really didn't know like the future of it. I mean, they said, well, possibly like, you know, you might be in a wheelchair someday. And so I just kind of just tried to live the most normal life I could, you know, and enjoy just hanging out with friends and doing normal high school stuff I could. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was your family life then? Because I know you have one sibling, correct?
Yeah, so I have an older brother who's adopted. So growing up, we kind of didn't get along too much, but you know, it was but we are friends really close today. But so you know, lived with mom and dad till I was you know, through college actually. And you know, starting in college, I started having a real hard time, like, you know, falling and different things like that. And so it got to be a little more difficult, and I think affected me more, the, you know, SMA in general, like affected me both mentally and physically. I was starting to have like a lot of anxiety, you know, about like walking across campus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? So just different things that started to become really, really difficult for me were hard at that time. So.
Sure. And yeah, it's just the multitude of like entering adulthood, and that's when the progression is starting, and now you're having to face all that. And what did you study in college?
I actually got a degree in accounting. I started off in music. I played the saxophone like in jazz band from like middle school, like, and into college. And then I kind of figured I wasn't going to make a lot of money being a musician, so I pivoted to accounting and got a degree in accounting. So
they didn't want to go the starving artist life.
Exactly.
and were you always in California? I forgot to
Yeah, you know, I was born in Ohio,
Yeah.
moved to Chicago when I was 3, and then to California when I was 5. So, you know, I pretty much all I really know is, you know, live grown up in California. So.
Sure. And then, so in college, you were getting a degree and everything. Then where did your life kind of go after that? Because obviously I know what you're doing now, but what about those? So in your early 20s and what were you doing
Yeah,
career-wise? And yeah.
so I got a job right out of college, working as an accountant for a company that we bought and sold mental hospitals. So they would place an accountant at one of the hospitals to try to improve it financially. So I did that for work for a few years, and I was living independently with a friend of mine, and at that time, you know, it was great. Like I was feeling like super independent, had a great job, and I had a service dog at the time. And I got off of work one day, and my roommate was playing with my service dog, and they both kind of rolled into the back of me. I fell and I broke my left femur. And from there, kind of just everything, yeah, I wouldn't say it went downhill, but like, you know, I was in a rehab hospital for a while because I started to have to learn how to use a wheelchair part-time and, you know, kind of rehab my strength because breaking a femur was kind of, it was like a real hard recovery. So,
Oh, I've
yeah.
been there multiple times. It's one of the worst kinds of pain
Oh, it's
to
so
experience.
bad. It's so
Oh.
bad.
But yeah, so like I so in terms of like yeah, not going totally downhill, but that was sort of a turning point for you in terms of facing the realities of SMA and that it was going to
Right.
have a more long-lasting like long-standing impact on you.
Right, exactly. Just like I said, I think I kind of, you know, thought like, oh, as long as I can just keep myself out of a wheelchair, I'll be okay. And you know, this was like a turning point where I was like, okay, well, now I have to start relying on one for, you know, the majority of the day. And it was a hard transition. I would say just, you know, I had to move back in with my parents because, you know, my apartment that I was living at, I needed a lot more help, and I just couldn't live by myself doing that, you know, kind of learning how to use a wheelchair and stuff and get around. So it was a kind of a tough time to pivot from, but I ended up you know, getting stronger. And I at the time when I was off of work, I had to quit my job because I was in rehab so long and I wasn't able to drive to go back to work. So I started teaching myself like graphic design and web development. So at that time I just started picking up little jobs doing kind of side work, and I ended up finding a job later on with a real estate marketing company, and I ended up, you know, kind of working in the graphic design and marketing field for about 10 years after that. So
Okay, very cool. Like yeah, so and at that point, so were you transitioned to a chair full time?
yeah,
Yeah,
for sure. It was full time at
gotcha.
that point.
Yeah,
And I ended
yeah.
up getting help through you know, the Department of Rehabilitation in California to get a van that I was able to drive, you know, so I was going being able to drive to and from work and kind of got back to a normal, you know, quote unquote normal schedule or whatever. And you know, I was still living with my parents and was driving to and from a job to work. So and around that time is when I met my wife. Now we started dating and stuff. So
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that because I so your parents were your caregivers up until that point, and then I know Kyla is so yeah. Let's get into meeting Kyla. Obviously, I know you and Kyla well, but yeah, can you talk about how you met and then how that relationship evolved?
Yeah, for sure. So, like I said, I was still living with my parents, and I ended up breaking my right femur while I was living with them again. So after that, it kind of that was definitely like full-time wheelchair use. I'm still able to do a lot for myself, you know, shower and go to the bathroom and stuff like that. And started to get a time, you know, I was like, oh, I want to start dating. And so I went on, at that time, it was Yahoo Personals was the cool thing to do. You know, there wasn't like all the dating apps and stuff. So I went on there and was just wide open with what my, you know, I have a disability and this is what I'm looking for. And I didn't want to hide anything because it's not like my true self. So, you know, went on a couple dates here and there and got contacted by Kyla. And she said, you know, I have this friend and, you know, I think she might have some type of muscular dystrophy and I want to talk to you. And, you know, so I'm like, is that really what she wants to talk about? Or she just want to meet me, you know, because so we end up having, you know, went on a date and, you know, it's that's kind of where it started. So.
What was Kyla doing at the time?
She was working for a company, ADP, the payroll company. So yeah, she was working full time doing that. And I was working, doing the marketing and we started dating and dated for probably a little longer than she would like, but you know, I think it was about 10 months or so. You know, I asked her to marry me and we got married maybe a year after that. You know, we've been married, it's almost 18 years, and this coming February will be 18 years. So
that's awesome. When you said you made her wait, I was expecting you to say like several years. I was like, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I was like, yeah, times yeah, have changed exactly. Now.
But, yeah, right.
But, yeah. But, and then, so, because I know she's your full-time caregiver now. Right. Did she, like, when you were dating and then when you got married, like, did she go into your full-time caregiver then, or was it a gradual process?
It was kind of gradual. Again, I had another accident and broke both of my lower legs. And after that, like, coming back from that was really difficult. So during that time, it was like right before we got married, she started helping me. She moved into my parents' house and started helping me do little things here and there. And just over the process of our, you know, over the, you know, time of being married, I've slowly lost different abilities, like, you know, going to the bathroom by myself and showering by myself. So it's kind of been a slow progression. And, you know, at every point we've just kind of added like, okay, well, you need to start helping me with this or whatever, you know. It's just kind of been a gradual thing. So now she helps me, you know, pretty much with, you know, getting up in the morning, getting dressed and, you know, going to the bathroom, going to the shower. And so it's pretty, you know, thankfully both of us currently work at home. So she's able to help me during the day too, if I ever need anything. But yeah, she's been my full-time caregiver for quite a while now. So.
Yeah. And on that note too, so let's talk about your business. So I forgot to put this in the intro, but so you and Kyla own a barbecue sauce business, which is really good, by the way, for listeners out there. But but yeah, can you talk about when you decided to launch that and kind of move away from your previous jobs to start this business?
Yeah, so like I said before, I was working at a real estate marketing company, and I was driving there independently back and forth, and near the end I was starting to have a lot of trouble transferring into the driver's seat. I would transfer into a driver's seat and drive from there, and I fell a couple times and it just started to become not safe. And also at that time I ended up having a surgery on something else and took some time off. And after that surgery, I wasn't able to drive back to work. So at the time, you know, working remote wasn't really a thing. So I had to quit my job in the real estate marketing company. And it kind of was just a slow transition. You know, I've never been one to just sit around and do nothing. I always felt like I got to have something going on. And so around my 40th birthday, I think it was, I've always kind of had like a love for barbecuing and grilling and always made my own sauces and seasonings just for fun. And on my 40th birthday, Kyla threw me a big party and I've like decided, oh, I'll cater the food, you know, I'll barbecue everything. And I'll mix up some of my barbecue sauce, and we gave it away in little jars as like a party gift, like to everybody. And everyone's like, "Oh, it's really tasty barbecue sauce. So you should start selling this." And I was like, "Yeah, sure. You guys are probably just telling me that or whatever." So, so I started toying around with it. We started making some different recipes of it and passing around to friends to taste it, and we got a lot of really good reviews. And so I said, "What the heck? Why don't I start trying to sell some of this?" And it just slowly started taking off. I started selling to people. We set up a website, started to sell it online, and started getting different customers at work. Just our friends helping support our business, and it's just taken off from there. We were making, pots of barbecue sauce. Kyla would be standing on a big chair, like mixing pots of barbecue sauce in her house, filling bottles at night and stuff after she would get off work. And, it just slowly started growing to where now we have a manufacturer that helps us prepare all the barbecue sauce, like, thousands of bottles at a time. And we just keep selling them. So it's been a really kind of cool transition. So
that's great. And I know, you've partnered with the SMA community on that sphere, and it's really cool how it's taken off then. But
So we decided, like I said, when I started the company, I was like, I don't just want to have like, I want something that's going to help me stand out. And I've kind of tried to focus on the SMA community. So yeah, we give a portion of our profits. We donate it back to, different research, areas, just to be, kind of get connected with the community and have a way to, give back a little bit. So.
Oh, it's great. I always like to love to see it keep growing, especially with SMA conferences getting bigger and everything.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of cool. Yeah. We always, end up, more people find out about us and stuff. So it's really neat to see. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And scaling back a minute. So can you talk about you and Kyla becoming parents and then that whole journey?
Yeah. So we have a 14-year-old daughter. She's just started high school. Super cool kid. She plays soccer, and she actually just started playing flag football in high school, which is kind of cool. And so, yeah, that was an interesting path that we took. We tried for several years to have children naturally and found out that both of us were super infertile. Ended up having to go the route of in vitro fertilization. We gave that one try, and it was successful, thankfully, and had our daughter. When she was it was, kind of difficult being a dad when she was a baby, because I wasn't able to do a lot of the work to help Kyla. So a lot of the physical work, fell on her shoulders. But I tried to do as much as I could. If Eliana was crying in the middle of the night, Kyla would grab her and I would hold her in bed, just like, while Kyla tried to grab a few minutes of sleep. And we made modifications to her room and the crib and different things like that to where I could be more involved. Tried to make it as normal as possible, but there was the limitations here and there, but I tried to, do as much as I could to help physically and, just be present in everything as she grew up. So.
Well, and I think it's cool now that like she's older, a conference is always little, she rides on the back of your chair and on.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. She went from, being a little kid riding on my lap, and then she went to, standing on my foot plate in front of me. And then she got too tall for that, cause I couldn't see over her head. So then she'd ride on the back. So now she rides on the back of my wheelchair everywhere. And I'm like, I don't want that ever to stop, because I love having her. The wheelchair is a part of me, and she doesn't even see it. And it's super cool, like, to see her grow up, and kind of, she has like a different kind of compassion for people, I think, just growing up around a dad that has, needs extra help maybe. And I think she has compassion more for people and stuff, just having the life that she's growing up in. So it's really kind of cool to see. So
yeah, absolutely. Oh, and like a, oh, and Well, it's cool too. I know you've written about it in the past when we featured you for 31 Days of SMA a while ago, and you wrote about kind of like the family dynamic. And I don't know if it's changed now since she's gone to high school and like where's okay, but I remember you talking about how you would be able to just drive in your chair to her school to pick her up, and because it was close enough.
So I was actually, looking this morning because she has a flag football game this afternoon, and Kyla's got a work meeting at the same time. So I'm like, oh, so I was like Google mapping, like it's going to take me 20 minutes to drive my chair to the school, but I'm like, I'm going to make it, man. I don't care how long it takes. So, I'll drive my chair over there just to watch the game. So yeah, it's still close enough to where, it's not such a big deal to get there. So.
That's awesome. No, it's a really cool. I mean, the close-knit family you have and everything. But
It is. It's really nice. I love it. So,
And on that note too, can you kind of talk about what a typical day of the week is like for you, between working and then having Kyla do your care, family time, et cetera?
So Kyla usually gets up early, gets Eliana up, and they get ready, and Kyla drives her to school. And as soon as Kyla gets back, she helps me, sit up in bed and maybe have a little coffee and get ready to, she helps me transfer into a toilet chair, and I go from the toilet chair into the shower, and she has to, help me do pretty much everything in the shower. From there, I transfer back into bed, and she helps me get dressed. From dressed, we go back into my wheelchair, and from there I'm fairly independent for a few hours. I will hit to my computer, check on any orders that came in overnight, get those kind of prepared for Kyla because she does all the shipping and management of that for our barbecue sauce business. And then I do a lot of marketing after that. Like I try to market on all the different social websites, different things, at least a few times a week to get the word out there and keep doing that. And then, lunchtime, like I said, Kyla and I both work from home, so she'll come out whenever she's free, and she'll grab us some lunch together. And then I usually do a little bit more work, marketing and stuff like that. And we're trying always to develop more recipes. I'm always, messing around with that kind of stuff in the kitchen. And from there, Eliana gets home, and we kind of hang out a little bit. And I'll, if she needs help with any homework or whatever. And that's kind of a typical day. I don't need a lot of help outside of getting food and stuff, during the day from Kyla. But then, kind of transitioning in the evening, Kyla helps, make dinner. She makes most of the dinners, but I try to help as much as possible. And then, getting in bed, I need help, transferring back into bed at night to sleep. And, she helps me in the middle of the night a couple times too, transferring back and forth in bed to get comfortable and stuff like that. So.
No, and I know, like, y'all travel to conferences and everything. Oh, and that's what I want to ask too. So, like, because feel like you guys got involved with, back then it was Families of SMA, but really around, I mean, little before I came along, but still like one or kind of the OG. So what was your experience with first getting involved with the larger SMA community, and how did that affect you?
Oh, it was kind of crazy at the time. Like I had talked to a new doctor, at the time, and she had a niece that got diagnosed with SMA, and she told me, I heard about this Families of SMA organization. They have these, kind of annual meetings. So you should go. It's in Las Vegas this weekend. And I'm about 4 hour drive from Las Vegas. So this was, I think, 1996. And it was in Las Vegas. So I drove out there, and I met this guy named Gus, who was maybe, I think, he's almost 10 years older than me. And it was the coolest thing meeting him, because the first person I ever met that, we were both walking at the time, and we both had, kind of difficulty walking. And I distinctly remember us both holding these little plastic cups of, soda of some sort, and we had these tremors in our hands. And I was like, "You have a tremor too." I'm like, "That's crazy. I've never seen anyone like have a tremor like me, and I've never, kind of, met anyone that, struggles with the same things that I do." And it was just such an eye-opening experience. And meeting Gus at that time, and then continuing to go to the conferences after that, and just seeing it grow and meeting more people and just getting more involved with the community, and kind of realizing, there's a lot of people out there that's in the same boat. I'm not alone, so let's try to stay involved with this community and kind of, keep up the communication so you don't feel alone. And maybe be able to new families that have children that are going to grow up with this to say, "Hey, like I went to college and I did this, and life's not going to be so bad when you get older, So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I always enjoy doing the panel with you there and other
Yeah,
adults. We're talking about other things.
it's
It's like,
awesome, man.
no, there is a life out there you can, and we all have like different levels of disability there that are on that panel and stuff.
Yeah,
So
totally. Yeah, and it's really cool to hang out with like that group of people and just, be able to talk our stories, and it's really so cool. So
Oh, absolutely. Well, and on that note too, wrapping up here, like, do you have any advice you want to leave listeners with, like, particularly other people with SMA, but really anyone in the community?
yeah, I would just say, like, kind of have that don't quit attitude. I had a lot of roadblocks, transitioning from accounting to graphic design and going into my owning my own business. I just never stopped. I never let like a broken leg or a transition to my wheelchair stop me from going forward and doing something I loved. I think I've finally landed on the kind of quote unquote career that I love, selling barbecue sauce and owning my own business. And I just have never had that, and I don't ever want to give up on letting my disability take over. Keep pushing through, keep pushing forward, and just have that no quit attitude, like, just keep going, man. It can be tough at times, but I think we all have this spirit of, not letting our disability, and SMA overtake us, and just having, live a life that we want to and have a great life.
Definitely. Well, Colin, thanks for sharing. This has been great. And also, where can people find you and more about Wheel of Q?
Yeah, so willyq.com. It's WHEELYQ.com, and we're on all social medias at Willie Q. So yeah, if anyone wants to check us out, that'd be great.
Definitely. For any meat lovers out there, like, you got some good
Yes.
get some good seasonings and sauces for the holidays
Yes.
coming up.
Yeah,
But yeah.
thanks. Yep.
Awesome. Well, Colin, thanks again. And like, we're recording this end of September, but I'll see you in person very soon at the CareSMA event in Washington. So that'll be great.
Yes, for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and social media, and you can follow smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.